Heaven, a podcast where we follow up our sermon series at Bell Shoals Church and answer your questions with Dr. Corey Abney and Dr. Ben Skog.
Welcome back to the podcast. We're here talking about heaven with Dr. Corey Abney and Dr. Ben Skog. Thanks for being here.
We've got all these questions
from all our people about heaven. What's it going to be like? And right now we're going to talk about our perception in heaven. So from our earthly perspective, what does it look like? So the first question is, will we have relationships in heaven?
I hope not. Because people are weird. And I don't know, Ben, will the weirdness go away? Please tell me.
The weirdness will go away.
So will there be an awkward Thanksgiving meal?
That's a good question.
You know, will there be a card table at Thanksgiving? Or will we all be at the regular table?
I've never been at the regular table.
Yeah, that
makes sense. There's the hope, right? There's the hope in all things. We hope for all things.
Yeah, I would say, I think there are relationships. I don't know why they would be limited. Again, there's no brokenness. Our relationship with God's not broken. Our relationship with others will not be broken. So the person who asked this question, I'm not 100% what he or she had in mind, but I don't think there'll be relationships in terms of cliques or the haves and the have-nots, or those you like and those you dislike, but certainly relationships where we know each other, we interact with each other. If building memories together is the right way of saying it, but it's just we're doing life together and absolutely we'll have relationships.
Yeah, I don't think there will be marriage relationships.
100%. You don't think, or you know there won't be?
There won't be.
That's right.
There won't be.
That's right.
But we will have, I think, if the two great commandments are summed up in love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, love one another as yourself, all the redeemed will love one another truly and rightly, and in that sense, relationships. But if we're talking second cousin and uncle and that,
right,
I don't think so.
Okay. So marriage is not, it'll be more on a, you know, we recognize each other.
Yeah, please explain. Does this mean platonic? I mean, what?
Oh, someone did ask about procreation, but I think you answered the question, so we don't have to go there.
Yep, right?
So why do we think that is?
Because we're completely fulfilled in our heaven nature.
So on that question, if that's what you're asking, is it the first Adam, second Adam comparison? So in other words, first Adam, it's just Adam and Eve, and the idea behind their obedience and procreation, that they would procreate and obey to the point where they filled the earth so that the entire earth was rightly reflecting God's glory. I think Christ as the second Adam is not procreating, he's redeeming his bride so that there will be millions and millions. I think Revelation says a myriads and myriads, a number with no one could count.
Right.
So there is no need for procreation because the entire earth, and not only that, I think all of creation will be rightly reflecting God's glory through Christ.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So the need for it is gone, my opinion.
So will we remember our lives on earth when we're in heaven? Will we have memories? Will we recall back?
That's a good question.
It is a fine question.
It's fine. Fine question. Okay, so we talked about this with reference to Isaiah 65, that the former things will not be remembered or come to mind. So no, I don't think we're going to be like, man, let me tell you about my vacation in 1991.
Baby pictures.
Right. We won't have baby.
Number 97.
This is what I look like in my third year of my human existence. Yeah. Boy, I hope not, because I had some buck teeth that would shock some people.
Do we have a picture?
Nope. They've all been destroyed. So, yeah, there's not going to be a sitting around remembering in the sense of either longing for, regretting, you know, our prior existence, but I would not say in any form or fashion that we've talked about this, we won't recognize each other and we won't have that recognition of who is with us in heaven. And again, so if the recognition question is reflective of, will we know each other and so forth, of course we will. But in terms of thinking back to this earthly existence, longing for something that we had or that we wanted, that will not be the case at all.
Yeah, I think in this Isaiah passage, it's talking about covenant curses, right? So for us, we will sing songs of Christ being the lamb slain, giving up his life. So I think we will know that Christ forever, he redeemed us, reconciled us as the second Adam, brought atonement to our sins, cleansed us from unrighteousness, and made us, gave us his righteousness, right? So I think there will be a component of that. But I think exactly right. There's a longing for, there's no saying, man, I wish I could go back. There's no Uncle Rico.
No, there's no Uncle Rico.
Yeah.
No. I know.
But I think Isaiah is talking about covenant curses. So I think that's what he's talking about uniquely in that path. I could be wrong, but I think that's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Covenant curses.
No, that's right. But you know, what's interesting though, when you get into this with the judgment is, I mean, there is going to be giving an account.
Yes.
There's clearly going to be an awareness of what Christ has saved us from.
Yes.
There's clearly going to be, you know, an acknowledgement of where we've fallen short.
Yes.
Even as believers.
Yeah,
I believe we'll give an account.
Yep.
And, you know, I believe we'll receive rewards, or at least there'll be some moment with Christ where we're giving an account for our lives and we'll hear those words, well done. So the extent to which we carry that into the eternal kingdom, I believe that's right. I don't think we're sitting back like, man, you know what? Jesus was right.
Yeah.
I should have, in that moment in 1984, should have, you know, I don't think that's, again, that's not what we're carrying into the eternal state.
Yeah. And I would say that when we talk about covenant curses in the eternal state, we need to make a distinction, right? So when I think when Scripture says no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, he's talking about, of course, those who are redeemed. Because I think God in hell, which is part, in my opinion, of the new creation, right? That is eternal covenant curses. So I think there's a distinction. Covenant curses are no longer for believers in Christ, but if you're in hell, that is eternal covenant curse.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's talk about worship for a minute. Obviously on earth, we all speak different languages. What is that going to look like when we get there? Are we all going to be worshiping in the same language, speaking the same language? What is the Bible?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yep.
And I hope I get to speak French, maybe a little Italian. I've always wanted to be pretty cool. No, we don't know. We don't know. So we know we will be speaking. I believe we will be singing and praising and rejoicing and the language and all that. That's going to be awesome. I have no idea.
Yeah. I think that there is one language going to be. Here's my justification. I could be totally wrong, but
I totally agree. There's one language.
So I think the distinction and division of tongues, which in Scripture is always known languages, right, is in Genesis 11.
Yeah.
And so I think there will be one language. As to what it is, since I'm a Chippewa, I'm assuming it is Ojibwe, which is the native language of the Ojibwe or
of course, yes.
Chippewa Indians.
Yes.
So what that language is, I don't know, but I think there will be one universal.
Yeah. Again, we're thinking of a restored Eden in a sense. We go back pre-Babel when we're in the eternal state. We're one people with one God. We have one language with one common goal. Terms of bringing glory to God, and what that is and what it sounds like, who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Okay, the next question is,
do you really have a desire to know French?
Not really, but it sounds cool though.
As you were.
I like English. Do you like English?
I love English.
Yeah, I like it. But it'd be cool to speak it and sound French.
Yeah. Agreed.
Okay, see? Carry on, Brittany.
Okay, the next question is, can we make mistakes in heaven? And if we do, can we be removed from heaven?
Well, I have a list of people I would like to see removed from heaven. Ben is not on that list currently, but...
Day's not over.
Day is not over. So no, absolutely not. No mistakes in heaven. We're not under the curse. We will not have sin. And so no mistakes. Nobody scratched off of the book of life.
Yeah. I think it goes back to our natures. So I think Adam and Eve before the fall, they had a nature that could sin and could obey. At the fall, all of us by nature now have a fallen sin nature, which is trapped in sin. So the only thing we can do is sin and sin more.
That's right.
Right. When we're born again, we have a nature that's somewhat like Adam and Eve. So we have the ability to sin and we have the ability to obey. The problem is we have muscle memory from our fallen days. In glorification, we're going to have a glorified nature, which says it's going to be like God's. In other words, we will no longer have the desire to
sin.
And we cannot sin.
That's right.
So that's what keeps us there. just as sin continues on in hell, right, our obedience will continue on for eternity in heaven because we're...
That's right. And I know you believe this. The sin we commit now, even as believers, is more than muscle memory.
Yes.
It's desire, of course, right? It's
rebellion.
It's rebellion.
Yeah.
And it's this new man, old man. And in the eternal state, it's just new man. And people need to remember, right? Like, we so misunderstand as a culture what it means to have free will. And free will, yeah, accurately understood in terms of human nature and biblical revelation, is the ability of a creature to act according to its nature.
Yes, that's exactly right.
So a fish acts out according to its nature. It lives underwater, can't live outside of water, right? A bird can fly. Human beings can't fly, can't live underwater. Our natures live physically, right, in the atmospheric conditions that we have. Okay, now go spiritually. It's the same dynamic.
Same.
It's the same dynamic, okay? A sinful human being, which all of us are, can only freely act according to our natures. So we freely act, but we can't swim and live underwater forever, and we can't fly in the air, so to speak. Spiritually speaking, we can only freely act in a manner that's consistent with our sinful nature. Our will is bound to sin. Christ redeems us from that and then gives us the power of his Holy Spirit so that now we have freedom in the sense that we can, as believers, follow the Holy Spirit and obey Christ and honor him. That only happens through the radical new birth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in the eternal state, the old man is gone. Now we still will act freely in the eternal state according to our natures, which no longer is bound to sin.
Yeah.
So there's still freedom in all of this, but many people think free will now is neutrality.
Or autonomous.
Yes. And in a lot of evangelicalism, free will now is just, well, the Holy Spirit levels the playing field, and then you choose whether or not you want Christ or not. No, that's not the power of our redemption.
Right.
The Spirit doesn't level the playing field. We are convicted to a point where we see the beauty of the gospel and we respond. We do so freely, but only through the merciful, gracious actions of God, you know, to bring us to that place. So there is no neutrality in our freedom.
Yep.
Our freedom is tethered to our sin natures, but in the eternal state, that sin nature is gone, and we will freely glorify God and freely relate to each other and freely work and do all that is entrusted to us, and we will be fulfilled and overjoyed in it.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. We can never act outside of the nature that we currently possess.
That's correct. That's right.
Yeah. So the hard part about where we're at today, where our society is they're fallen in their nature, where Paul says in Romans 8, verse 6, he says, for the mindset on the flesh is death, right? So that's the free mindset. It will never think about anything else. But the mindset of the Spirit is peace, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God. It's always antithetical towards God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not able to do so.
Yep.
So there's freedom within that nature, except there's no freedom to obey, because that fallen sin nature never obeys.
That's right.
Always hostile.
That's right.
So always free to act within the nature you currently possess. I think it's perfect.
So this might be a question that some people might have. We have the ability to accept Christ, but we're still in our sin nature, but we have the ability now to obey God. How does our sin, once we've accepted Christ, affect us in heaven later? So how does that carry over? We're forgiven of our sins, but once we are made aware of it, and we've been given the grace of God, how does that transition to heaven?
Yeah, I think, and we'll talk about this, we talked about this in the series, that there are rewards in heaven. You know, I believe the scripture teaches that. So our sin now as Christ followers, I believe prevents us from greater reward in the eternal state. And I do believe that we will have some dynamic aspect of reward in the eternal state tethered to our obedience to Christ now. Now, I've heard it described as everyone's glass is full, but not every glass is the same, you know, size. So I don't exactly know. I mean, there's not going to be anybody, you know, missing out in heaven or lacking fulfillment in heaven, but I do believe there are varying degrees of responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so I think in some form or fashion, our obedience now matters. Mm-hmm. You know, and if there are no rewards and there's no echoing into eternity, then I don't know why Jesus talked about it and the apostles talked about it. And furthermore, if that were the case, then once we are converted, then we just kind of kick back and live however we want because everybody's going to have the same existence in eternal state. Well, I don't think that's true. So how does sin, and I would flip the coin there, obedience, how does sin and obedience now impact the life of the believer in some form or fashion? And we don't know exactly how this is going to play out, but in some form or fashion, I do believe there are echoes into eternity with that. Mm. Our obedience now does matter. It does bring glory to Christ. And I believe when we give an account for our lives in some form or fashion, that's going to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Even though we are forgiven,
right,
accepted, redeemed, but you know, the lives that we live now absolutely matter in my view. But how do you see that?
Well, I think I'll go back to a little bit of the previous question, and I think one of the things that Nicodemus asked Jesus, how is it that anyone can enter into heaven? And he says, first, you must be born again. And of course, he's not talking about a physical birth. He's saying, right now, you are currently in your fallen sin nature. You must be born again. But the problem is, in humanity, I can't do it. You can't do it. So only, it's something that only God can do. So I don't think, and this might be splitting hairs here, I don't think in our fallen sin nature that we can accept Christ. I think, my opinion, and there's differences here. So this is an in-house debate, not an out-house debate. But I think God has to regenerate us before he gives us the gift of faith. So I think, one, all faith is a gift, right? Ephesians 1 says, and faith is a gift given to you by God so that no one may boast. But I think had he given us that gift of faith when we still had our fallen sin nature that does not have the ability to please God or obey God, we would have rejected every time. Because that's what we do with the rest of the general revelation. We suppress it, reject it, and exchange truth God for a lie. So I think it's important that regeneration is a miraculous work of God that's done for us. And then he gives us faith so that we can obey. And through that obedience, Pastor Gordy and I have just a slight distinction in how we view rewards, but I have zero problem with how he explained that.
Yeah. What Ben's trying to say is,
way to open up a camera.
Yeah. He's wrong in his view and he's acknowledging that my view is correct. That there are rewards.
What is your view on rewards?
So again, what we're talking about is we're not talking about anything that has division into it.
Of course.
So we're talking about good things.
We're not scratching Ben's name out of the book of life.
I sincerely hope. But if he did, it'd be done with a Blackwing 602.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, you know it. Yes.
Yeah. So it's a fine writing utensil. So in my view, I would lovingly say that everything I have and everything that heaven is I think falls under Ephesians chapter 1, where it's God saying, and under this thing that we can disagree on, right? Election, predestination, those are topics for another day, that he has predestined us to the adoptions of son to all the heavenly realities. And so I think all of those are summed up in Christ. So I don't, in my estimation, and again, you and I have talked about those verses and we've had some great disagreements with them and a lot of agreement, some disagreement. But I think there is no reward outside of Christ's obedience. So I think it's his.
So everyone gets the same reward?
Yes.
Regardless of how they live their lives post-conversion.
But I'm not saying that obedience does not matter here.
Right? Okay, so that was my question, because it's okay that we disagree on this. And
Right.
I look forward to your apology in the eternal state. but no, seriously, you know, okay, but for our listeners, how would you say our lives do matter?
Right.
Because that's important for someone who holds your view. Then how does our obedience matter now?
So I think right now, if you're a believer in Christ, right, we are persevered by God. So in other words, I think, you know, Christ in John 6 says, everyone who the Father gives to me, they will come to me and I will never lose one. Then you combine that with John 10 when he says at the end, and I will hand them to my Father and no one was able to take them out of my Father's hand. So all that is saying is that the things we do here on earth, they matter, but a believer cannot sin themselves outside of heaven. And so—
No, agree.
I do think— Yeah,
we agree that—
Yes.
Those who are converted, redeemed—
Yes.
There's no loss of salvation.
Yes.
Right.
You have the gift of brevity on these things. I lack such a gift, so I require more time. So what I'm saying is that in sanctification, when we sin and we repent in our ongoing sin, right? There's a distinction between initial repentance at salvation and the ongoing repentance carried through sanctification. I think it does not hinder our ultimate relationship in Christ. We're in Christ, in union with Christ.
Totally agree. We all agree there.
But I think there's in this earthly element, hindrance probably isn't the right word. There is a disruption, so to speak, in the sweetness and tenderness of our fellowship. So I think that's what the sin does. I don't think that will carry into, meaning the obedience piece. I don't think Christ gets me in and I get me a crown. That's crass, right?
No, right. Okay, but I want to be clear, right? So someone who's converted,
yep.
Two people who are converted,
yep.
They both, I mean, theologically we understand, they yep. both now possess the Holy Spirit, indwelling spirit.
Yes.
And therefore they both have old man, new man.
Yes. Well, yeah, regenerate. Yeah.
No, right. I'm saying, but they're not glorified yet.
Correct.
They still,
correct. You know, yes.
We're still in this life
yes.
wrestling with the flesh.
Yep.
As we try to lean into the indwelling spirit.
Yep.
So there is an opportunity every day to honor the Lord, to obey yes. the Lord, to serve the Lord, to lean into the Lord. Yep. And then there, obviously because of the flesh, then also temptations, desires that are sinful, that don't honor the Lord and all the rest. Okay, so we, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit, then have the opportunity every day to honor the Lord, serve the Lord.
Yep.
Okay. So, again, I think you see the passages that I would interpret as reward passages. Okay, we could even do maybe a podcast episode on this.
That would actually be fun.
Yeah. Okay, I see those as reward passages.
Provided I don't get fired.
Historically, many do. It's important that you largely see those as big picture yes. referring to conversion and
yeah yeah so so
and
think,
salvific
yes.
Fulfillment in Christ.
Yeah. So I get there.
So there's no distinction. It doesn't matter how you live your life, other than
in Christ.
So right. In Christ.
So the Holy Spirit applies the totality of the work of Christ to all believers, right? And so that. It's, you know, regeneration, indwelling, the gift of faith, right? I mean, all these things right. are brought to us in Christ. And sanctification is us becoming more like Christ. Glorification is us becoming completely like Christ, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so I think when we do a study of crowns, like the crown of righteousness, crown of life, crown of these things are what Christ brings. He is my righteousness. He is my life. And so that's how I see it. So I see it Christologically.
I see it as fulfilled
in Christ.
So that's the important thing, Brittany. Like,
yeah.
So in my view, if it's talking talents, we're talking rewards, not just crowns. You know, for me, life now matters because we do have the opportunity every single day to either
honor I'm not Christ saying or, life now doesn't matter.
That's basically what he's saying, everybody. No, I know. I'm not saying yeah. to the exclusive of what you think. We both say life matters. I think it matters in terms of there is an echoing. Mm-hmm. Ben would say that there is no echoing, that it's only an impact of relationship with Christ now in the intermediate state because Christ has already secured by his finished work
right.
all eternal rewards for all believers for all time.
Okay. Yep.
So that's just kind of how...
Yep.
I just think it's fascinating that we can have people who study theology for years and years and years, and we still, there's just stuff that we don't know.
Well,
and it makes me excited.
I'm pretty confident we know it, but we also live in a land where there's still a curse. And let's just say I'm not pointing any fingers, but not everyone is right on these things. But okay, carry
will on. We be competitive in heaven?
Oh, I hope so.
Will there be Cowboys? Yes. Will there be Bengals?
Not so sure.
Oh, I hope not.
Oh, there's no Bengals for sure.
No, there are no losers in heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So in that same line, one of the questions was, which, you know, this is, again, one of those that a lot of people have is, what level of understanding will we have in heaven? You know, we're still not going to be God, right? We're still not going to be elevated sure. to that level, but will we have a larger understanding of the full picture that we don't have now?
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. You know, sometimes we make these statements and we hear them all the time. Like, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God this, or we assume, you know, like
that's
like
right.
when I get to heaven, I've heard it said, and we all have probably, right? In love, people say, well, when I get to heaven, I'll know everything. Well, no.
That's right.
So will we know a lot more than we know now? Yes. Will we take on omniscience? No. No.
Will we know where Jimmy Hoffa was buried?
Of course.
Yes.
That's in my book, page 77, sale now.
That's right. Yeah, no, that's right. Of course we're not going to take on omniscience. And some of the things that we're so curious about today won't matter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
it won't matter.
That's a good point. It's that shift of we don't need fulfillment in things in heaven that we do now, where we're curious and we want more knowledge and we have that desire for knowledge. We're just not going to have.
But I don't think our knowledge stays stagnant in heaven. Mm-hmm. I think we will grow and grow and grow in knowledge and understanding and wisdom, but we will never take on an infinite sense of knowledge.
That's right. And I do think the question was understanding. I absolutely think we'll have more understanding.
Yes.
But that's not necessarily equated with knowledge of some of the things that are important to us today.
Yeah. And think about the things we do know right now. They're hindered by sin, right? So many things we think we know, they're hindered by our sin nature and misunderstanding, misconceptions, right? False presuppositions. So even the things that we know now, we'll know to a greater extent because that sin filter, so to speak, will be completely removed. And then I think we'll even know more beyond on that.
Yeah.
Okay, this next one. When babies die, do they remain that age? Are there going to be people that have to take care of those babies or children in heaven?
I don't know at what age any of us will be in heaven. But I don't think that we will have an aspect of us that needs care and nurture in an earthly sense, like a mother and a father do.
No, agree.
I think Christ is everything, and that we will be completely fulfilled and never lacking anything.
Totally agree. And when God made Adam and Eve, He didn't make them as children, infants, and so that's just where we don't know for sure at what age we're going to be reflecting. In a human sense, you know, when we receive our glorified bodies, but absolutely, I foresee every redeemed person as in some form or fashion in adulthood.
Yeah. And I think Pastor Gray alluded to this in our last episode, and I think it's right. You go back to Eden, right? On day one, let's say day seven, right? On the day of rest, had you cut open a tree, it would have had rings in it. Adam and Eve didn't have to go through the awkwards, that every animal, every plant was already able to reproduce after its kind. So everything in creation was created mature and able to carry on their full function. So I think we take that from our previous episode. And by the way, if you didn't catch us on our previous episode, I would highly encourage you to go back to the archives.
Yes.
And listen to that episode. But I think that was important. You go back to Eden, right? In fact, one of the greatest books I ever read on eschatology, J.V. Fesco, and it's called Last Things First.
Yes, yeah.
Fabulous book, and it drives you back to Genesis to bring you forward.
That's right.
Okay, great. Well, we have a lot more to tackle on the next episode, but thank you. And as always, the content on YouTube for our series called Heaven is on YouTube. You can go and watch that series or catch the other episodes of the podcast, but thanks for watching.